future. We're talking real money.
Hey, hi, welcome back. I'm Don McDonald over there, right there. I see him. There he is. Tom Koch. This is Talking Real Money, the show, then the podcast. And by the way, we have a lot of podcasts for you to listen to if you want to listen to our podcast.
How many? How many do we have
1,038.
God. There are people that have heard every one, and bless you.
1,038.
Really,
I know. It is unbelievable.
We got our little tribe. Bogle's got his tribe. Our tribe's smaller, but they're tenacious.
Yeah, boy. They are tenacious. There are not very many of them. No, there's quite a few of you. Yeah, I think last week we had like probably about over 100,000 downloads last week, like 120,000 downloads. So that's pretty good.
We're no Taylor Swift, but we're trying hard.
We're trying. Hey, you know the stock market's been down, right? Yeah, we know that too. You know the bond market's been down too, right? What has that done to a lot of people, Tom?
Scared them.
Scared them.
Frightened.
It has really scared the heck out of a lot of people. And I get it. I get it. We're emotional creatures. And we want things we can't have, too. We're big believers.
Like a car.
Yeah, like a car in 2023. No, you can't have it till 2024. Wealth without risk. We want high returns and absolute safety. We want chocolate cake, or some of us. Some of us want strawberry
and
rhubarb
weight
pie
at the
all
same
day.
Time.
But we want a lot of things we can't have. But that doesn't stop people who sell products from promising us things that, well, aren't as good as they sound. And that
this
is
why,
that's the pitch for annuities.
It is. I mean, this is why consumers are on pace. Listen to this number. To buy almost $300 billion with a B dollars worth of annuities in 2022.
Wait a minute. That's not $300 billion with a Q? Seriously?
These are annuities, of course, that do what you just mentioned. Give you the return of the market, Don, without any of the risk.
That's some of them.
That's what I'm always looking for. That's not all. That's true.
All.
But the numbers are astounding. This is the most ever, of course. The record was, take a guess, the year the record happened before for annuity sales.
2008?
Yeah. You're a genius.
I don't know how I figured that out.
We did not take this up before the program. And the author of this article kindly points out that purchasing decisions, here's a quote, seem largely guided by fear of volatility in the stock market.
Right.
Always should be fear of volatility because the stock market is volatile.
Insurance agents and stockbrokers of America, thank you for your emotional reaction.
And the two big sellers, of course, are the fixed rate deferred annuity. Now, that's something where you give an insurance company. I'm okay with that one generally.
Generally.
I can live with that. I cannot live with, nor will I accept, indexed annuities.
No, because they are based on a lie. You see, that's the problem with them. A fixed annuity is based on, truth to some extent. Now, there are things that are
going to get your money back.
You should, as long as the insurance company survives. And then that's another thing about insurance deals. How many other people, this would be like a bank saying, hey, we guarantee you're going to get your money back, and we don't have any FDIC insurance. Well, remember the late 20s and the early 30s, mid 30s, when banks promised you all your money back, but there was no FDIC. Remember what happened? It didn't turn out so well. It really bothers me that insurance companies can say, we guarantee your money back, because the guarantee is really only as good as the quality of the company. But annuities are just badly sold, and that's our big beef with them. We don't have any problem with products that are sold with 100% transparency, where everything is disclosed up front, both verbally and in writing. 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money. Your guide to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Before the break, we were talking about how annuities are on a torrid pace of sales, you know, setting new records. They haven't seen levels of sales like this since 2008, but it's curious.
By the way, rings a bell. Just want to make sure people remember 2008. That was, when the market tanked.
Yeah, that was a tanker. Yeah. That was a tanker that ran aground. But it's fairly interesting. I'm looking at this article from CNBC that you're referring to. And this paragraph says a lot. It says, meanwhile, while there are record sales for fixed annuities and indexed annuities, meanwhile, mm-hmm. consumers are shying away from variable annuities, which are directly tied to the performance of the stock market. Now, of course, after huge fees of up to maybe 4%, so there's not much left. And it's funny. It's funny. When you look at all of these products, the net result, the net return is almost the same in all of them. Whether you get a fixed annuity or an index annuity or a variable annuity, the net return to investors runs in that 3 to 5% range generally, no matter which product you buy.
And does that sound like the return of stocks, 3 to 5% a year?
No.
It hasn't been?
No, it hasn't. The other thing that I chuckle at is it says the average age of indexed annuity buyers is about 63 years old. And the author says that suggests they are worried about the prospect of losing money as they approach retirement. No, you know, it's at that age, you're particularly susceptible to the allure of a free steak dinner. That is when they know how to get you. It's the free Ruth's Chris dinner. That's what's going to, or Fleming's or whatever it is. That's how they're going to get you.
So this is a good opportunity if you're feeling weak need after the free steak dinner, right? That's a good opportunity because think back to 2008. It was a tough, if you're 63, you can remember 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
It was a tough time. Yeah. I mean, we headed into a nasty, great recession, whatever you want to call it. Markets went down. But what happened after that?
After that, you were probably so glad you went into that low rate annuity because for the next 10 years, the market, it didn't tank?
No.
Oh, you mean it went straight up?
And up and up again. I mean, this is the problem is you get sold something at a moment of incredible weakness. You mentioned something about being, you know, emotional beings. Yeah. And people go into these things not realizing that this too shall pass. I don't know when. And the six experts we talked about recently, they don't know when, but it will. And then you're going to be thinking, why did I buy this expensive annuity that I really just did because I was so scared?
Why didn't I just maintain my discipline and keep investing the right way for me? But the good news is still not enough of you are doing that. 855-935-TALK is our phone number, 855-935-8255. You can call us during the show with your questions, or you can call us anytime and leave your question like this.
Hi, my name is Angel, and I have a question as to my finances. I'm currently renting an apartment and sold my house when our bridge went down in West Seattle. So I'm spending about $60,000 a year on rent and just living expenses. I have some apartment buildings in San Francisco that I'm a partner in that are for sale, but we haven't been able to sell them. And now with the rising interest rates, it doesn't look likely that we're going to be selling them. And I'm a small investor. I've invested about $500,000. So, and then also I have $750,000 in a money with a money manager. And then, let's see, I also have about $200,000 just sitting in cash. So my question is, I have not paid rent since I was in my 20s. I'm 63, and I'm not working right now. So I'm wondering if I should pull the money out of the, I don't know, somewhere and buy a home. I doubt if I would get a loan because I don't have income. I actually have lived in a different country for the last 2 years, so I haven't worked, and no income history. So thank you so much. I hope you can answer my question. Bye.
Well,
wow, there's a lot there.
But there's the basic question, though, it's really simple. Rent or buy? And this is a question that plagues everybody who's looking to put a roof over their head, which is pretty much everybody. There is
you mentioned
no,
something about emotional.
Exactly. Renting or buying is a totally emotional thing. And the reality, you stated your reality. The reality is, you probably can't qualify for a mortgage because you don't have income.
And if there's going to be an all-cash deal,
then where's that money coming from?
Well, and here's the thing. At 63, don't go buy an annuity, even though that's the average age now. All kidding aside, you need liquidity because you
are
going
to... Well, she's got $200K in liquidity.
But I'm saying, though, in a general sense, I always advise people in their 60s to hang on to their liquidity because you're going to need that to pay the light bill wherever you live in the next 20 years.
Right. And if your total expenses, living expenses in a year are $60,000 and you're renting and you live comfortably, you live in a place that you are comfortable living, there's nothing in the world wrong with renting. There is no reason why everybody in America needs to own a house. Now, the only,
I don't like throwing money down the Don. Come on.
At 7% interest, which is the mortgage rate these days, you're throwing a lot of money down the tubes.
That's
a lot
point.
Of money. Because remember, for most of us, that interest rate deduction doesn't mean much.
No, not capped at $10,000.
Yeah,
right? $10,000?
And plus with the standard deduction. So here's the thing. You've got very reasonable expenses. You've got $1 million in relatively liquid money from which you can derive the income to pay those, plus you've got your Social Security and the like. Then the only thing I have a problem with is that damn San Francisco thing.
Well, but if you sell it or you don't.
Well, but here's what bothered me about it. She said, we've been trying to sell it.
Well, things have been tough in REITs lately.
Everything can sell at the right price. The reason it didn't sell is because whomever is trying to sell it believes it's worth more than the market believes it to be worth. And the reality is it's worth what somebody will pay for it. And I know you're a minority investor, but I would push them to either liquidate some of to buy you out.
Which they could do, sure.
Which they could do, or to get it sold at whatever price, because you have too much, way too much of your future tied up in some very, very illiquid, oh my gosh, real estate.
And the other part of this is something that we have talked about ad nauseum on this program, and that is in terms of where you live. That should be a lifestyle decision, not a financial one, generally.
Nothing wrong.
Other words, people think, I got to own a house, I got to own a house. Well, why do you got to own a house? You know, that's not necessary. You could rent and be very happy renting.
If it wasn't for the psychological benefit to my wife, I'd be renting because I got too much money in this darn house. I don't like having money tied up like that. And you've got a lot tied up, and you'd have even more tied up in a house. I don't think it makes economic sense. Thanks for the call.
Tom and Don are talking real money. For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Give us a call at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. I'm Don, that's Tom. We're talking real money, and we, of course, want to talk real money with you because it's your real money that we're trying to help you save, grow better, and protect. There's a lot of people from whom you need protecting out there.
Sadly.
Too many. So give us a call, 855-935-TALK. You can also send your questions in for answering on podcasts or occasionally on the show. Send those in to TalkingRealMoney.com on the contact form, like the one Tom has in his grubby little hands.
Yeah, this is you're clean. This is from William in Doswell, Virginia. Do you know Doswell, Virginia?
How's it spelled?
D-O-S. W-E-L-L?
No, I know. I've never heard of Daswell. I don't know Daswell. Daswell.
I thought you would be a guy who would know that. Yeah. Anyway, he writes, hi, Don and Tom. Well, I actually wrote Tom and Don, but I'm trying to make you feel better.
Oh, I was going to say he had it in the right order, but he didn't. Okay.
I'm working to revise my portfolio to better match the principles I learned from listening to your show. I'm thinking of merging toward Paul Merriman's 10-fund buy and hold portfolio, which are available at paulmerriman.com. To that end, I sold Windsor 2. The family? He sold the Windsor family. I didn't know you could do that.
No, Windsor 2,
which Vanguard, is a mutual fund at Vanguard. Pardon me.
Yeah.
Since, in his words, it is actively managed and purchased VVIAX, which is the Vanguard Value Fund, which is an index fund with a much lower expense ratio. Was this a smart move? Then he went into which one is down more, which one is down less, et cetera. Okay.
Windsor 2 has a about a third of a percent expense ratio.
But VVIAX.
VV, I have to look
how
up.
How much? VV. I could look it up.
VV.
But they're two different type of funds, are they not?
Well,
other than the active management.
The Vanguard, the VVIAX is the Vanguard Value Index. That is an index.
That's right.
And its expense ratio is 0.30% less. It's 0.05 rather than 0.35. So it's a lot cheaper.
The, okay, 0.005.
The interesting thing is that Vanguard Windsor 2 does skew slightly toward value. It does have a slight value tilt, and it's very large cap. The Vanguard Value Index itself has a larger value skew. And it's about the same capitalization.
It's a value fund.
It's about the same capitalization.
But it's going to own more stocks.
Let's see. It has 344.
In which one? VVIAX?
Yeah, in VVIAX. It has 344.
Windsor has got to have fewer than that.
Because
Windsor
remember, two, it's basically choosing from the S&P 500 for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, large
and
companies.
Windsor 2 has 175, so about half.
So twice as many. Yeah, so okay, so cheaper, greater diversification, more of a tilt to value, and the most important part, one is an index fund, which we do talk about regularly on this program because we like them. The other one is actively managed.
Right. Well, why do we like index funds over actively managed, though?
Everything we know says you will end up with more money.
You are likely to end up with more money.
Yeah.
The reason being that, and it's really basically the fee, that 30 basis points, sorry to use basis points, but that 30 basis point additional fee sucks one third of the return off, even if they do exactly the same. But the other problem is an actively managed fund also trades more internally, and this is not reflected in the fees. They
Good
are
point.
Buying and selling more often, incurring bid ask spreads that impact your value. So,
be careful the way you say that.
And I didn't do it well. I just want to look though at the performance of the two. Vanguard Windsor.
While you're doing that, if I can mention the other reason that I would prefer to own twice as many stocks.
Yeah.
It's less risk. I totally agree. It really has to be because you're holding twice as many securities, right? So if something bad happens to, well, you saw it this week, right? Amazon had kind of a tough time. Isn't there the former Facebook had a pretty difficult week? So individual stocks, wow, they can really put the hammer on you.
Absolutely. And the performance on the two, well, they're almost identical over the long term, but guess what? The index fund slightly outperforms. Slightly. 855-935-TOM.
Tom and Don are talking real money. Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Welcome back to Talking Real Money. Tom Koch here, Don McDonald over there.
No,
you
I've
out?
Left.
Oh, sorry. No, sorry. He's doing an out-of-body thing. No. Give us a ring. We got the full half an hour here to answer your questions.
It's less than a half an hour.
Oh, here's the nattering nabob in my ear. 855-935-8255. I think I got that right.
T-A-L-K.
855-935-8255. Okay, listen, my friend. You and your merry band of I-bond bros almost brought the federal government to its knees this week.
Oh, my gosh.
You follow
like the Redditors. Yes.
You got
yes.
This is bad,
go,
man.
My people.
You people, they so many people had to rush online. It's the only way you can do it by going to what is it? Treasury Direct.
Yeah, treasurydirect.com.
It went down. It took the website So many people wanted that 9.62 rate. 9.62 rate, which you can't get it anymore.
It's too late, isn't it?
It's over.
Oh.
You had to do it by yesterday, by Friday. Sorry.
Oh.
So now you have to suffer with
so sad.
What's expected to be 6.5%. Still pretty good, but you and your I-bond bros are going to have to find something new.
What's wrong with 6?
I don't know.
What?
I thought the whole thing was a giant silliness, but you know that already.
But that's only because you're an elitist.
Oh, I guess.
You're an elitist snob.
I don't even get a new car. Now I'm an elitist.
Yeah, but you tried, and when you tried to get a car, you didn't try to get, like, you know, the Kia. No, you went for the Rivian. And guess what? Did you learn your lesson? Your lesson?
So, I-bonds, yes, you can still buy I-bonds, but you can no longer get the rate of 9.62. That has expired. You can get, as Don said, 6.4. So,
now
there you go.
Let's just go back and talk a little bit about what an I-bond is for those of you who are going, well, I'd still take 6. Remember, these are government bonds. They're savings bonds. They really are. They're savings bonds. It's the
30-year savings bonds.
30-year, but you can hold them for 30 years.
Yes.
It's not like a 30-year bond where you can't get your money out. You have to sell
the secondary. No, you can get your money.
You can get your money out. Here's the deal. You can only put $10,000 per person in per year, although there's some really wacky rules about putting money in from your tax refund, but we're not going into those. You must leave the money for the full first year. You got to leave it there. No question. You cannot touch it for the first year. Two, for the next 5 years, next 4 years, for the 5 years out, if you take it out, you lose 3 months of interest, which right now would be a lot, but could be in the future when inflation goes back to low numbers that it would be zero. So who knows? And that's the thing. The rate resets every 6 months.
It was zero not that long ago, right?
It was zero not that long ago. And it resets every 6 months. So that's all you need to know. You can still go get them. You just won't get the higher rate at treasurydirect.gov.
What? This is one of those things 10 years from now, you're going to be talking about it like you talked about pet rocks.
No. Oh, are you kidding?
You're going to be like, pet rock, same thing. Chia, whatever the rest of that
you
silly
are
stuff
an elitist.
Is,
so. You think they're like something you pick up at Walmart because apparently to you, $10,000 is chump change, Mr.
Money
Bags.
It's a lot of money. All right.
We're not letting that go. We are not letting that go. I am going right now to log into my account.
Uh-oh.
Oh, never mind. Treasury Direct is down.
Yeah, I told you. You and your merry band of I-bond bros took it down.
I was going to go see how much money I've made, but I've made $20,000.
Had it a year, almost a year, right?
Yeah, I've made like hundreds of dollars.
Okay.
It's serious.
I think I made that in Friday in my stock and bond account, but okay, fine, whatever.
Well, you know, but my stock and bond account is so far down.
Oh, yeah, mine too. Impressive. Mine too.
My Treasury Direct, not down at all, only up. Can't go down.
Like one of them fancy annuities, sir.
No, it can't go down.
Oh, pardon me.
Cannot.
All right. Should we go to the phone and help people?
I'm just looking to see if we have time. Yeah, we'll have to hold Greg over, but let's get started. Greg, we'll get started, and then we'll come back after the break. What's up?
Yeah, are you talking to me, sir?
Yes, sir. We're talking to you, sir.
Excellent. I appreciate your time here and taking my call. My question is pretty simple. Do you know when brick-and-mortar banks like Chase and Bank of America are going to be raising their CD rates?
Yes, they already did. We know they just did it.
Wells Fargo, you can go to Schwab and get a brokered Wells Fargo CD for 4.5%.
I don't know. It's a bank by bank. Can you guys still hear me?
Yeah, hang on. We're going to talk more to you after the break because this is a topic we actually wanted to cover. So thank you for getting us into it. We'll be right back. 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money. Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
We are talking with Greg on the phone about a topic we wanted to cover today. We just hadn't gotten to it yet, and that was the rising rates of CDs. Now, Greg's question was, when are the brick-and-mortar banks going to increase their CD rates?
Well, savings rates, by the way.
Oh, their savings rates haven't budged. Like, I think my rate at Bank of America is still 0.01.
I think it is, yeah.
0.01. That's zero.
When prices are going up by 9% a year.
For all intents and purposes, that's zero.
Not much.
Yeah. Now, I'm looking at, this is very curious, because we were talking about Wells Fargo. The brick-and-mortar branches of Wells Fargo, where I live, I used my zip code, are paying up to about 3%.
If you walk in the branch.
Yeah, these are special fixed-rate CDs, $5,000 minimum, which is fine. You walk into the branch, you'll get that. That's okay. But here's a curiosity, Tom. You've got a rate from Schwab for a secondary market CD.
Yeah, brokered CD that they're offering at 4.35% on a one-year through Schwab. Now, why it would be more on a broker, in other words, Schwab selling this for them, than it would be at their own branch. Yeah, I've never run a bank, so I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, but it's really interesting to see. Yes, the brick and mortars are far lower, Greg, than the online or the brokered CDs.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm looking at Wells Fargo CD right now at bankrate.com. And all they have here, Don, is 0.3%, $2,500 minimum one-year term. That's all I see at bankrate.com.
I'm on Wells Fargo's own site. And if you'll look on their site and just click on CDs, they have a 7 and a 13-month, which are called special rate CDs.
Yep.
They require a $5,000 investment, and the rates go up to – the APY goes up to 7 months, it's 2.76, and 13 months, it's 3% for someone who has a bank account with Wells Fargo. Otherwise, it's 2.47 and 2.71.
Okay, I appreciate your help. I'm going to check on this. I'm planning on sticking with Chase or Bank of America, and perhaps I should not go to bankrate.com. When I walk in my local branches here in the south end of Seattle, there's nothing. Rates on CDs are nothing.
No, and what I would suggest you do, because it is so easy to do now, it is so easy to do, go to Schwab and buy these secondary market CDs. They're the same thing. If you have do you have a brokerage account with anyone?
No. But is this Schwab you're talking about, is that FDIC?
The banks? Yes, CDs are FDIC.
CDs, yeah.
Or you could go to Capital One Bank online. Right now they're paying 4.25 on a 5-year, 4% on a 1-year.
Yeah, because Capital One is a totally a virtual online bank, I personally don't trust them. You know, it's not brick and mortar. You know, they could just turn off your money. Yeah. I just don't get
No, they can't. They cannot turn off your money. It is the FDIC would absolutely make you whole. Absolutely make you whole.
Same guarantees as any other bank.
Same guarantee.
Yeah.
I bank online. I have banked online literally for over 25 years.
You're a bleeding edge guy.
I am.
So
I've
no
banked
surprise.
Online for more than 25 years.
But, okay, I really appreciate your
help
here.
No.
Bear in mind, you can go get those brokered CDs from a brokerage firm. You can get them through Schwab or Fidelity or, you know, E-Trade or any
Fidelity,
of those.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And they'll be able to get you brokered CDs at a much higher rate through brick-and-mortar banks if you'd like. So check it out. Thanks, Greg.
All right. Well,
we lost him. Okay, 855-935-TALK is our phone number. And Linda, you're up. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hi. I had a question. I'm a buy and hold person. And last year, T. Rowe Price Growth, TRGFX, they changed everybody's investment from that to a TRUFX, which is a TRP investment class. I've called them a couple times on that, and they told me it was because it was cheaper for the shareholders to do that, and I was wondering if that is true or not. because it seemed like my taxes went up quite a bit.
This is in a 401k?
No, it's just outside.
Regular broker.
Individual.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah.
What was the new symbol? What was the new fund symbol?
TRUFX.
TRUFX. FX.
P.
No, that's
P.
not.
P.
Oh, P.
P is in Paul.
U.
Paul, yeah.
T. Rowe Price Growth Stock.
Yep.
Okay, that was. Okay, that has an expense ratio of 0.51. That's the one they moved you into, or that's the old one?
The old one was PRGFX, and that one they merged the two funds.
They merged the funds. They do this all the time. They merge a bad fund into a good fund. They want to get rid of the track record of the old fund.
Sad.
Because T. Rowe Price is a group of actively managed mutual funds. And sometimes they don't do as well. And I'm guessing that may actually be the reason they merge this other fund into the fund you have now to hide the performance.
This is very typical in the industry.
It's real typical. And one of the reasons why they probably wanted to hide their performance is even this fund. Tom, do you know how much this fund is down for the year to date?
Yeah.
Let me take a guess. 23%.
36%.
Wow. So that really is big, mega companies.
You need to be in index funds, Linda.
Wow. That's harsh.
You got to get out of T. Rowe Price.
I do. I have a lot in just the 500 index fund. But I was wondering on this whether I should take some of this out or not.
I would take all of it out.
Oh, wait. Okay. Well, which 500 index fund do you have it in, out of curiosity?
Schwab.
Okay, you're at Schwab. That's great. But you need broader diversification than just a 500 index or just a growth stock fund like this one, which, by the way, this fund is almost identical to the S&P 500, except it's worse.
Let me give you an example of why you need more diversification, because this is fascinating. The S&P 500 now year to date is down a hair over 17%. That's pretty bad. I mean, it's difficult, right? But let's assume you're diversified into other asset classes. For example, U.S. small cap value stocks, which most people don't own. I wish you had them, but they don't. That's down 3.8%. Not saying every year it's going to make more. It has made more over a long period of time. But you need to make sure you're weighting your portfolio to those other asset classes, which are an important part of sort of balance between big and small, value, growth, all those sorts of things.
Yeah, and the other thing is this T. Rowe Price growth stock fund that you have only has 69 stocks in it. That is not well diversified. They have their periods, but by the way, I'm looking at its long-term numbers, and it generally underperforms the index. Throughout most of its history, it's underperformed the index. You would have done as well, maybe better, by just having like VT, the Vanguard Total World Stock Index. I think that would be a much better place for you.
Tom and Don are talking real money. For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
I just learned of that T. Rowe Price Fund. Rivian is one of the big stocks in their portfolio.
Can't deliver with the stock price. Can't deliver with the cars. Can't deliver.
Hey, guess what? Last live class, maybe ever.
Yeah, this is the call. So if you want to come and be part of one.
Because people don't go to live classes anymore. So
we have over 300 people signed up online. Less a tenth of that for in person. But come and see us. Paul Merriman and I will be in Bellevue talking about battling the bear.
Sign up at talkingrealmoney.com.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program
program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor.
Thanks for listening, and please visit talkingrealmoney.com for more information and disclosures.
That's a wrap.